Hello, everyone. Welcome back, and thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Tez Talks Taxes. Again, this is something that I can't say fast. It's a tongue twister, but it's very interesting, and I love it. So it's Tez Talks Taxes, and my name is Tezra. I am a tax expert. I have a federal license, and I love giving tax advice and helping people out. You can find me on Instagram. My handle is at taxexpert, which is very easy. Once again, it's taxexpert. And we're going to kick the show off and give you guys a lot of advice because I have a special guest, and her name is Anna Loren. Anna, please let me know if I pronounced that part right. But I'd like to introduce everyone to you and, you know, tell us your name and where you're from and what companies you have.
Hi, everyone. My name is Anna Lorien. I'm from Mississippi, and I own Mississippi's first and only matchmaking agency. I also own another business. It's called Urban Urban. It's an herbal healing business. Help heal women of reproductive issues and emotional wounds. But, that's it. That's basically what I do and who I am.
I find that so interesting, Anna, that this is Mississippi's first and only matchmaking agency. That's really interesting. I can't wait to ask you more questions about this. You know, that talking about tapping into a market that, you know, sometimes people go into a market that's like overflowed with things, and now it's pretty much like you found a market that wasn't even existing prior to you in your area. So that's really interesting.
Yes. I was surprised actually that there were no matchmakers here in Mississippi once I started like doing my research and looking around. There's really no one here to help singles find someone.
Yeah, and, you know, singles need a lot of help today. Trust me.
There's so many different avenues.
Oh, yes. So what's your Instagram information so people can follow you?
On Instagram, I am Matchmaker Anna. That's with one N, A-N-A, Matchmaker
Anna. Awesome. All right. So I'm going to start with a tax tip, and then we're going to take a music break, and then we'll come back and ask you a bunch of questions. So last week when I had the show, the time started to get a little late, and I kind of rushed through a tax tip that I just wanted to bring back for anybody that might have questions on it. Anna, you actually might find this interesting because, and you may even know about it, because I know you have it's two children, right? Are they both boys?
A boy and a girl.
Okay, you got to forgive me. I'm so bad with that, you know. But this is in regards to the qualified tuition program. It's called a 529 plan. And basically this plan is to help people save for higher education expenses for their child or grandchild. But even someone that is, you know, say if you don't have any children, you want to save for your neighbor or for a niece or nephew is also possible, or even a friend's son or a godchild. But the purpose of this plan is so that people will be able to do two different things depending on what they choose. So the first part of it is that it's a prepayment plan under which payments are guaranteed to cover or partially cover tuition, regardless of the tuition, of whether the tuition increases or not. So basically what that means is that if you start paying now towards tuition for a particular college, you're going to be paying the same amount, and you know how over time tuition increases. Well, this will lock you in at a certain price, which is pretty awesome. And then the second one is a savings type of plan in which the funds that you have will be available to, for higher education depending on the investment performance of the account. So this is more so like you're putting money into an account and you're trying to get it to invest and to grow. So if you put $1,000 in, you might want to see $2,000 within a certain period of time, and then all of that money will be available to use for education expenses. What I love about this plan is that the earnings within it are tax deferred. So if you're getting dividends or interest or whatever on this plan, you don't have to pay tax on that. And if you pull the money out to use it for qualified education expenses, you still don't have to pay the tax on it. So it can remain tax-free, you know, if you're using it for all the right causes. So that's, like, the perfect plan to use. There are, like, credits that are given, but those credits are not 100% of your total cost. So this is actually the better way of saving money and saving on taxes when it comes to, you know, college education. And, you know, some things to be aware of is that if you don't use the money for college expenses, you will have to pay a penalty, almost like a 401k plan, so to speak. You know, and some of these contributions, so when you put money into it, it's called a contribution. And when you take money out, it's called a distribution. So your contributions, depending on the state, could also be tax-free, where I'm sorry, not tax-free, but a tax deduction. So I want everybody to keep these 529 plans in mind. Google it and see what your state says, because it may be something that, you know, you want to get involved in to save for your kids' colleges. All right, so with all of that being said, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back to talk to Anna.
Still tipping on po-po's, wrapped in po-po's, tipping on po-po's, wrapped in po-po's, tipping on po-po's, wrapped in po-po's, tipping po-po's, and I'm taking po-po's.
And still ballin' in the mix. It's that 6'6 long dick, slim nigga, thick in your chick. Pullin' tricks, looking slick at all times when I'm flippin'. Bar sippin', car dippin', Grant Wood grain grippin'. Still sippin' on still tippin' on four rappin', four rollin', four bowin', four hoppin', no hackin', no packin', four blowin' on that endo. GameCube, Nintendo, 5% tint, so you can't see up in my window. These niggas don't understand me, cause I'm ball tall, gon' candy. Top down at Maxis with a big Glock 9 handy. Pieced up, creased up, stand dressed to impress. Big boss belt buckle under my Michelin S. Oh, Gucci shades up on my braids when I escalate. When I'm riding freewheel, sliding like an escapade. I got it made, the big boss of the North. Ain't shit changed, I still represent what's your house, huh? Wood grain, I'm gripping, catch me lying, switching with the pain dripping. Turn your neck and your dang missing. Me and Slim, we ain't sipping. I'm figure flipping and sir sipping. Like do or die, I'm pole pimping. Car stop, rims keep spinning. I'm flipping, drop with invisible tops. Hose bob with my drop, step out. I'm shaking the block with 418s. Candy green with 11 screens. My gasoline always supreme. Got Dodo the brand with a Pantaline. It tastes grinding to be a king. It tastes grinding to be a king. First round drop piece coming. Who is Mike Jones coming? Slab shining with the grilling. Woman, slap shining with the grill. I'm Mike Jones. Who? Mike Jones, the one and only. You can't clone me. Got a lot of haters and a lot of homies. Some friends and some phony. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot, hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot, hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot, hoes all on me. Back then, hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot, hoes all on me.
People's champ, my chain light up like a lamp, cause now I'm back with the camp. I'm crawling similar to an ant, cause I'm low to the earth. People's feelings get hurt when they figure out what I'm worth. I got 84s poking out at the club, I'm showing out. I'm a
player, ain't no doubt. Hoes wanna know what I'm about. Bigger diamonds off in my mouth, princess cuts all in my chain. Wool grain all in my range, dripping stains when I switch lanes. Switch the name, it's still the same. Switch the house or switch the blast. Mike Jones, he running the game and magnificent by the cash. Michael Watts, he made me hot. Hard work took me to the top. G'd ass took me to the lot. He wrote a check and bought a drop. I got the internet going nuts, but seafarers got my back, so now I'm holding my nuts. It's Pow Wow, baby. What you know about me? I'm on that 5'9" South Lee, baby. Holla at me.
Hello, welcome back. It's Tez, the tax expert, and I'm here with Anna. Oh, Anna, I don't want to pronounce it wrong again. Please correct me. Lorian, is that how it's pronounced?
Anna Lorian. Lorian.
Lorian. Oh, it's very easy. I don't know how I'm getting it wrong. So I have a message. Someone told me to say, hey, Pimp and Curly. I don't know. You probably know who it is.
Yes, I do.
I just had to share that with you. So, tell us who you are and how you got into, you know, matchmaking.
Well, again, I'm Anna Lorian. I own Mississippi's first and only matchmaking agency. Basically, what I do is I coach singles, I curate dates, I take them shopping. I basically do whatever is needed to make you dateable. How did I get into matchmaking? Divorce. I got married really early. I was 20 years old. I was married for a short period of time, 2 years. And while I was married, I became an intimacy coach. And so what I would do is I was selling sex toys. Clients put the spark back in their marriage and in their relationship. And some of these marriages, you know, they got on track. But some, despite all my efforts, they still ended up divorced.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And that was around the time that I was going through my divorce and everything. And so that kind of led me back to the drawing board to try to figure out why things didn't work out, both for myself and my clients. So I studied, I researched, I dated, because I was divorced too, and basically helped my other singles figure out why that relationship didn't work and how to make the relationship going forward, the dates, how to make that work for them. And so, boom, the Anna Lorian Agency was born.
Nice. And, you know, we have something in common because I got married at 20 as well, and I was divorced by 26. So it lasted 6 years when it probably should have lasted 6 months.
You lasted longer than me because I may have lasted two. Yeah, I lasted 2 years.
You lasted 2 years? Oh, my goodness. I should have bailed out at 2 years or at 6 months. You know, I don't know what I was thinking. But, you know.
You're still a child at that age, honestly. Like, you're not ready to be someone's wife.
Yeah, and you know what? I think knowing the type of person that you can get along with and the type of person that has the same goals as you is very helpful as well. And sometimes when you're that young, you don't really know who you're going to get along with, or, you know, at that moment, you're like, oh, my God, this person, we're best friends. But things change over time as you start to grow and mature and as your interests, you know, develop. And I think that that was one of the main things between us. You know, we just had two different goals and we were going in separate directions and we clashed all the time because of it.
Yes, yes. At 20, you definitely don't know what you require in order to be happy or in order for a relationship to work. And I mean, there are most of my clients, they still don't know at in their 30s and 40s. And so, yeah, that's a big thing. Like, you have to know yourself and what you need to get along with someone else. And I think at 20, you go off what feels good. And so if your relationship is making you feel good at the time, you're like, yeah, we could do this forever. I could feel good.
But, feel good. Everything
yeah,
about
it,
right?
It does.
That moment. Until you
right.
actually wake
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, this feels, wait, what's going on? It's not feeling good anymore.
Right. You're like, wait,
you know,
wait, this isn't right. It was
this
just
isn't
feeling
right.
good like 6 months ago. Yeah.
Yeah. But now, okay, so speaking of feeling good, you mentioned that you sell sex toys, or you used to sell. Do you have that still as a component of your business, or do you think that it's really not something that your company would want to focus on when you're matchmaking?
Well, I have another company that I'm doing my research on. But basically, it's the intimacy coaching aspect. But it's and let me know a date that they are available, and I will curate the date for them the entire night. And so all they have to do is go out and have fun. And they do get a fun little package to use at the end of the night with that.
Oh, nice. Now, let me ask you something. This may be a tough question, and we can come back to it if you want, but who typically pays? Is it still traditional where, okay, if, you know, because obviously people are paying for your services, male and female, I assume, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now, okay, so when they're paying for your services and you're setting up a date, is it still traditional where the man's paying, or do women
yes.
actually now? Oh, okay, that's good.
Mm-mm.
I mean, that
no.
I'm very traditional, so I believe in that, you know, and I don't think I can entertain a guy who doesn't pay for the first date, you know. So I think that that's a very important part. So.
Yeah, and you have to remember, I'm in Mississippi, and so the South is a little bit different than how my clients date in New York or in Philly or D.C., or Chicago. Like, they are really traditional.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. And you know what, for anybody listening in that's an entrepreneur, I just want to comment on what you're saying. That's all about knowing your market, you know, because you have to understand the people that are in your area and how they react to things and the traditions or the culture, you know. So I'm glad you were able to hone in on that and, you know, figure out what it is that's needed in your particular area and make it work. So that's a really good thing. You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it was.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just saying that I had to learn quickly, like, what worked in New York or for the California matchmakers definitely wasn't going to work for me, not here.
Right, right. I agree with you on that one. So tell me, like, a success story that you've had or, you know, anything that you want to share as your success.
Well, I had a client. He was a great guy, no kids, had a very good job, stable. He had bought him a house, had paid off his car. But he was self-sabotaging. On every date I would send him on, he would find an issue with it. And,
oh, really? What?
Yes.
he had a problem.
For real. He was such a great guy. But then it was like he had an issue with every date.
Everything.
And
oh, my gosh.
Yes.
That's hard to
And so
to make
I had
edible.
To really give him some tough love. I had to take him shopping first because he was kind of stuck. Side note, guys tend to get stuck in the era that they thought they were, like, really doing it up or lit. Like, I don't know why they do that. Like,
they
y'all
still think
please.
They're in their prime, kind of.
Yes!
You know? Oh, man.
Yes! Please, don't do that. Fellas, come with us. Like,
know where you
they
are.
They have some nice fashions out here now. Nice shoes. You don't have to keep wearing the Sperry's. They don't look good no more. But yeah, I had to give him some really tough love. And the next date I sent him on, because I was really at the point where I wanted to cut his contract. Because I felt like, you know, like he was just self-sabotaging and there was nothing else that I could do. So I decided to send him on one more date. He begged me, basically, to send him on one more date. And I did. And, yeah, they got married.
Wow.
And the girl, yeah, the girl that I set him up with, it was her first date with the agency. And so to her, it was kind of like a home run right out of the park, you know.
Right.
She came up to bat and kind of hit a home run. But I had to kind of give him that tough love, like, listen, I can't keep sending people your way and you're, like, picking them apart. And these are the people that you're asking for.
Right, right. Do you think he might have still been in love? I know, like, sometimes, not admitting to anything, but, you know, sometimes when you're still in love and you're out dating, you kind of want to compare the person you're dating to the ex, and then you're always going to find problems, because even though your ex might have been the worst ex in the world, you're still thinking about all those great things that you loved about that person. So do you think that might have been his issue, or he was just like a nitpicker?
No, I think that he was really more so afraid that, because he had never really been in a relationship, like a serious relationship before. And so for him, it was like, okay, if I do like this person, like, what's next? Because he had never experienced that. He was kind of,
gotcha,
like, almost like a 40-year-old virgin when it came to, like, relationships and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. So are looks, like, a key factor with your clientele? Do you feel that, you know, or just in general, that people are judged, that, like, the looks are the main thing that will determine if they get a second date or not? Or is it not really still the case?
It depends on the client. If, like, I have a client that's very, very neurotic, but he works out a lot. Like, he's one of those, he's a narcissist, basically.
Oh,
and
one of those.
I mean, yeah, he's very narcissistic. And so he wants a woman who looks a particular way because he looks a particular way. In that case, I would say yes. Now, if you don't work out and, you know what I'm saying, like, you don't do anything, like, you can't demand to have someone who is a size 2 and you're out here, like, size 42 in the waist. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So
you got to kind of be realistic, think, of what you can pull in.
Right, right. And so I think looks do matter to a degree. Like, you can't go out looking sloppy. Like, you want to put your best foot forward. But that's why we do the coaching, so that I can let them know, look, you're being unrealistic right now because you need to look at yourself and the kind of lifestyle that you lead. And you're not going to want to deal with someone who leads a totally different lifestyle than you, because a person
right.
who is in their 40s and a size 2 is someone who works out, who looks at what they eat, who, you know, they really don't deviate off of their eating regimen too much. And so is that really the kind of, like, you know, person that you want to be with if you're a foodie?
Right,
so,
right.
You know, I have to take people, like, there, like, all the way there, because they don't look down the road. Like, they just kind of look at, like, I want a woman who looks like this. Well, yeah, that kind of woman leads a certain type of lifestyle. Or I want a guy who does this. Like, okay, is this what you really want to deal with in your life?
Right, right. So here's another question for you, and it's business related, you know, but also along the same lines of, you know, your business. Do you feel like, I mean, in my industry, as far as taxation, I have to be straight up and honest with people all the time. And, you know, you try to say it the right way so people don't get offended, or, you know, you have to let them know certain things so that they don't get upset and, you know, cry. And this is whenever you have bad news to give to them, you know, and then you're dealing with so many different personalities, you know, so it can be tough. But do you feel that being blunt and honest is like a way to do things, or do you take a different angle? Not saying you're being, not at all saying dishonest or beating around the bush, but I'm just asking, what angle do you choose to take for the clients that you have?
It really depends on the client. Some clients, they can take that blunt, you know, advice. But there are some clients who you really do have to soften it a bit. I'm never going to not tell you what I need to tell you.
Right.
But I will soften my delivery if you are a person who is, you know, your feelings are easily hurt or you're easily offended. So it really depends on the client.
Right. So I think the most important part here is for business owners to just know their client. Is you have to know each person that comes into your door. So that's a good point to make, you know.
So yes, you can't market to them if you don't know them.
That is very true. That's very true, you know, and very important also for people to know that. Yes. So this is getting really, well, it's already been good from the start. I'm loving this conversation, but we're going to take a quick music break and then we'll come back and I'm going to ask you about any advice that you have for business owners.
Okay.
Yeah. For the first time, it's going down history, baby. New 3-6 Mafia featuring A-Ball and MJG.
Roll that shit, light that shit, hit that shit, hold that shit, blow that shit.
Back, we have a fun guest and her name. Oh, I'm going to probably get it wrong again. Anna Lauren. I said it right. I got it right. Did I?
Yep, Anna Lauren.
Okay, you know, I don't know why this is so difficult for me to remember. It's ridiculous. It's a common name. What's going on with me tonight? I don't know.
Yes, I'm Matchmaker Anna.
There we go. Thank you. That's perfect. I do want to mention one of our sponsors for the show. We have Lit BKNY, and I want you guys to check out their clothing line. They have attire that represents the Black Panther movie. So please go on to their website and use the code PREGAMEISLIT at the checkout, and you'll receive 20% off your purchase. And also, I just want to give a tax tip real quick so I don't forget to give this to you guys. So this is in regards to this is a tough one. A lot of people are facing this. This is in regards to having a child to claim. So the rule in regards to a qualifying child, when there is more than one taxpayer that can claim the child. So basically, only one person can claim the dependency exemption for a child. But if you and your child, the other child's parent, are both eligible to claim the child, the IRS does allow for you to decide amongst each other who's going to claim this child. If you can't decide, that's when the IRS steps in and they use something called the tiebreaker rule, and they basically make the decision based on certain circumstances. So, for example, if only one person is the parent and the other person's not the parent, say a grandparent can qualify to claim a child, but the mother can as well. Well, in that case, the mother wins because that's the parent. Now, say you have a mother and a father who are not filing a joint return and they don't live together, but they both qualify to claim the child. Well, the parent who the child lived with for the longest during the year wins. So that would be the second deciding factor. Now, if the child resided with both parents equally during the year and the parents are not filing a joint return, well, the parent with the highest AGI wins. So now that's the third one. They're thinking of everything to help figure out who is able to claim this child. All right. So, when you claim the child, you're claiming this child for purposes of the dependency exemption, being head of the household, the child tax credit, dependent care benefits, and also if you qualify, it would be earned income credit. So there is a lot of credits on the line and a lot of deductions on the line and exemptions for people who are claiming children. So this is why this rule is very important to know. So once again, the parent wins if one person's not the parent. The parent who had the child living with them for the longest time period during the year wins if the child is not living with if both parents aren't living together. And if the parents are living together, then the one that has the highest AGI, adjusted gross income, wins. And how do you know what your adjusted gross income is? You look on the very bottom of your 1040 tax return. It's the very last number on your 1040, page one. And it's the very first number on the 1040, page two, just in case you don't see it on page one. All right? So that's our tax tip, and we're going to get back to Matchmaker Anna. I got it right. So Anna, give us some advice for people who are newbies and they want to get into business. What's some advice you got for them?
Okay. Do your market research. Forget spending your time and money on your logo and website design until you have really gotten feedback from the market about your product or service. And market research is not just asking your friends and family if they like your product. You need to ask strangers for your feedback. You need to Google similar businesses to see if there is a market. Reinventing the wheel is hard. You have to first create a lane, then you have to educate people on why they should even drive in your lane. That's hard. Like, that is really, really hard.
Right.
That's why I say research, research, research. A really, really good book that I read was Crush It, Why Now Is the Time to Cash In on Your Passion by Gary Vee.
Oh.
Vaynerchuk, Gary Vaynerchuk.
Oh, okay, Gary.
Yeah.
Okay, and you said Crush It, Now Is the Time to Cat. What was it?
Cash In on Your Passion.
Oh, I like that. It's very catchy. Now Is the Time to Cash In on Your Passion. That's nice. And that
yeah, it really kind of helped me put the. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I was just about to say the. I was about to ask you the question that you started speaking on. So, you're good. Go ahead.
Yeah, it helped me to put the important things first and do the frivolous things like the logo and the website design. Like, that's important, but it's not as important as really, like, getting your product, honing in on your product and honing in on the market and making sure that there is a market that you can even make money from what you're trying to do. Because you don't want to put time and money and effort into something that is not going to get you anywhere. Like, no
right.
one wants to do that.
Right, right. Now, why do you think people shouldn't ask their friends and family? Do you think friends and family are usually, you know, not going to tell the truth, or you think that it's just better to go out and get strangers?
Friends and family, sometimes they will tell you what they think you want to hear. But also, like, how many friends and family do you really, really have? You know, like, that may
right.
be a false sense of security. They may need the product, but you know, people out in the real world may not even look at your product twice. So.
Very true.
Yeah,
that's
why you really
want
to get out. Like, go
yeah.
to some beauty shops, some barber shops. Like, get your products out there. Make sure that people even want what you have, what you're trying to give.
Was it tough for you to ask strangers, like, questions that would be helpful for your matchmaking company? Or do you think some questions may have been on a sensitive line? Or do you think people are pretty open to helping in general?
I think it's all in how you frame it. People were pretty open. Like, they – I think people were – people – I didn't have any issues asking people or getting answers from people about, like, their dating life or why they were single. Like, people were ready to talk about their dating life and why they were single. So I think
wow.
it was good for me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. What do you think are some questions that people probably should ask when they're going out there and doing market research?
Really, really listening to what the people say, like, when you give them the product, how do they respond to your packaging, or how do they respond to you asking them about the service that you're trying to provide? Listen to what they say, the words that they use. And then also, like, when you Google and when you when you're reading about, like, other businesses that have similar products, you want to look
right.
at the words that they're using in the region that they're using also.
Very interesting. And you know what? That's actually something that I tell people a lot. Look at what you see out there that other, your competition is doing, and see how you can, you know, you want to stand apart, but at the same time, you want people to know, yes, I do this as well. Like, the standard things that they get from a company that provides a specific type of service. You, for example, in my industry, e-filing, of course, you know, they want to make sure, okay, you can e-file, correct? You know, you can take my fee out of my refund, correct? You know, those are the basic type of questions that I get. So I have to let people know, yes, I do all those standard things, but I do this is what makes me different from the person down the street, you know. So that's very important to know. And sometimes, like, being able to go onto their website and looking at their packages, or even pretending to be a customer, it is a good way to go out there. You know, have you tried that? Have you went into any agency and pretended to be, just be interested in their services? Or do you think that is, well, you know what? No, because you're the first agency, so that wasn't available in your area.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. I did look on different websites, but like different matchmaking sites, but it didn't really apply to me in my area.
Right.
Nobody's paying $25,000 for matchmaking in Mississippi.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
And so, like, that, and even the way that they did the date, the set up the date, people get tired of dinner dates, which is why I don't generally set up a dinner date. Like, you may be going on a scavenger hunt, and the scavenger hunt may lead to a picnic that you already have wine there, you already have your food there and games there and your picnic basket, so you can really get to know the person that you're dating. You can see their personality in action instead of them just kind of telling you what they think you want to hear and vice versa.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, that's really fun. And like you said, dinner dates are, they're cool, but, you know, if you haven't yet found a way to be able to communicate with that person one-on-one that well, sometimes it could be a disaster, you know, because you might not have anything to say. So, and when that happens,
and some people are just not, I'm sorry, sometimes people are just not good communicators.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know, at first, like, it takes a little while for them to come out of their shell. And so if they're doing something, I found that they tend to come out of their shell a little bit sooner than if they were just sitting across the table from someone.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, with that being said, you know, that leads me to wanting to know about some roadblocks that you may have faced, you know, getting into this industry.
Well, you remember how I said you have to create a lane and then educate people on why they should drive in your lane, you know,
yeah,
if you're trying to reinvent the wheel.
Right, yeah.
I had to do that because despite matchmaking being commonplace in other areas, it was not common in Mississippi or even in Alabama or Arkansas or Tennessee. Matchmaking is not a big thing in the South. And so it's seen as something that only rich people indulge in. And
really?
So I really had to, yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, if you only see Patty Stanger, and she's called the $1 million matchmaker, thank
yeah.
Patty. You know, you're going to think,
shows.
Okay.
I love that show.
Yeah, but it made people think, okay, matchmaking is not something that's for me. It's something that rich people indulge in. Like me, I'm just going to have to go on Tinder, on Bumble, on, you know, I'm going to have to do some regular old dating around here. But I really had to let people know that matchmaking is a good investment for anyone who's trying to save time and energy in the dating game. I do background checks on everybody because I don't want to get sued. I don't want to put anyone in a bad situation.
Yeah.
And people are crazy and they lie.
Very true. Oh, my gosh. That's very, very true, you know, and you have to protect yourself, you know, at all costs too, you know, but at the same time, you have that integrity to your client to say, hey, I'm giving you quality people, you know, but a lot of times, like in my industry, I see where, just like you mentioned, how matchmaking in your area may be associated with wealthy people. It's almost like that with investing. You know, sometimes I face people who feel that in order to buy shares of stock or to invest in something, you have to have, you know, tons of money. And I'm like, no. Start with $20, you know, start small and just be consistent. It's more so about consistency than having a large dollar amount, you know. So perception, you know, a lot of times you have to change how people perceive things because they can be so far off track with it, you know. So I'm glad you were able to take that and turn it into something to be successful.
Yeah, it really went back to doing that research.
Right, that's primary, doing the research. So we're going to take another song break, and then when we come back, I'm going to ask you about your upcoming projects. Okay.
And he can't do this, and he don't do that.
Matchmaker here with me, and I would like to mention a couple of our sponsors. Right now we have I Crave Wear, and I want you to check out their FACS t-shirts and hoodies. Go onto their website, which is icravewear.com, and use the code PREGAME at the checkout, and you'll receive 15% off of your purchase. And also we have ME Productions. I want you guys to email them at heyme.tv@gmail.com to get your music video projects started with them. They do music videos, web series, and video portraits. So check out those two sponsors. And I want to give you guys a tax tip real quick. And since we're talking about businesses and we kind of brushed along the lines of entertainment, I do want to talk about a deduction, obviously, for it's a very popular deduction. It's for entertainment. So as we all know that your personal entertainment costs, such as eating out and going to the movies or a ball game, things along those lines that are for personal reasons, are not deductible. However, the tax code does allow a deduction when you're doing it for business. Even when there's an element of pleasure or recreation that's involved, you, of course, need to keep your business receipts. That is primary. You must do it. Put the person's name on that receipt so that that way you can substantiate your deduction. But what happens if you were to purchase a really expensive ticket, say a skybox at a football game, because you want to impress this potential business prospect? Well, the code, the IRC, the Internal Revenue Code, still allows you to take the deduction. However, it's usually limited to the price of a non-luxury ticket. So even though you may have paid thousands of dollars for this ticket, it would be the price of a regular ticket price, which could be a couple of hundred, maybe the nosebleed price of 30, you know. So you do want to know those rules before you go way out of your pocket for something that might not be necessary to do for your client, because you don't, I mean, it's always good to treat your clients really nicely, but if you're doing it for a deduction as well, you want to just be mindful of these rules. That's why I'm telling it to you guys. However, I do want to mention that if it is for a charitable organization, then your deduction is not limited to the face value of the ticket. So you will be good with that. And keep in mind another thing, not only would a luxury seat under regular circumstances for just a business meeting be limited to the cost of a non-luxury seat, but you also have that 50% limitation. So if you paid $2,000 for a ticket, but you can only deduct $200 from it, well, 50% of that is $100. So $100 is what you're going to see on your tax return. Keep all of this stuff in mind because it's very important, and a lot of people misunderstand this rule. So we're going to get back to it. We're going to get back to Anna. And Anna, I want to ask you a couple of questions. For example, what makes you different from your competition? And your competition, and I would assume your competition would be, since you're the only one of your kind, I guess this is a really tough question because you're the only one. But when I mean competition, I'm talking about social media, you know, people going on Facebook to date and things along those lines.
I mean, but when you come to my agency, one, you're going to know everyone goes through a background check. So you're not going to just be going out with some Joe Snow that says he's single. This person has been vetted, and they've been vetted for you based on your requirements, the requirements that you need to happen in your relationship in order for you to be happy and feel like it's successful. And so that goes back to the coaching. I'm really doing the hard part. Like, you talk to me, and then I go out here basically for you and represent
nice.
You in the single world. And I don't let you encounter all of those fuckboys, as we call them, that slide in DMs and, you know, the people who really, the unsavory. No one
right,
wants to
right. No one, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You spend, you know, what do they call that? Waste my time 2018, you know, or waste her time or waste his time. There's a lot of females
right.
out there, too, that are just like, you know, these guys sometimes don't know what they're getting into until the chick, you know, for example, may get pregnant or something down the road and then, you know, it's like, oh, my God, I never knew this about her. I never knew that she was this, you know, lazy or sloppy or whatever the case may be, you know.
Yes,
so
I can help weed out the gold diggers too.
Yes. Make sure these guys are getting good ladies and vice versa. You know, stay away. The
right.
Pump boys, kick them out. Very,
yes.
Very good. I love it. So tell me about, like, some of your upcoming projects.
Well, right now I'm talking to sponsors about doing a blind date tour, basically going across America, trying to match up singles and curate dates based on the area and the personality. Like I say, I'm also launching that other business, Urban Urban, an herbal healing boutique where we sell crystals and yoni eggs and yoni pearls and vaginal steams and stuff like that to help women heal reproductive issues and emotional wounds.
Nice, nice. And I remember you also mentioned the intimacy business, I believe, intimacy coaching part of your component.
Oh, yeah, the
real company.
Seat.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, with this blind date tour, how far do you think you might take it? Will you stay in Mississippi, or you think you're going to go outside to other states?
No, I have a lot of clients that are based on the East Coast, so I think I'm probably going to be coming up the East Coast.
That's so nice. Do you ever incorporate speed dating and things like this, or you think speed dating is a waste of time?
I do, but I do put a twist on it so that you're not just sitting across the table from someone, but you are really, what I do is I'll have a bunch of games going on. And so when you switch, you inherit the hand that's at that table or, you know, whatever game that person was playing. And so you get to play games and get to know this person. Instead of just kind of sitting across. Yeah.
So you could be in the middle of, I'm just going to use this as an example, say Connect Four. I'm only using that as an example because it's one of my favorite games. So you could be in the middle of Connect Four, and then when you switch, that the next person coming to the table will have to start where you left
yep.
off. Oh, that sounds
mm-hmm.
fine. I would be so mad if someone was, you know, if they had a bad hand,
right.
they were about to lose, but it would be it would be so much fun.
Yes.
Oh, that's
yes.
a great idea. Yes, yeah. I'm so happy you were able to come on to the show and, you know, just give all of this advice for people who want to go into business and at the same time, like, talk about, you know, the success you've had and how far you've come along with it. And, I mean, that's just real encouraging. Just the standalone fact that you're the only one in your date with this is very commendable. I'm impressed. You know, I want you to keep up the good work, Anna. Keep pushing forward because this is an amazing thing, you know. And I want you to be able to tell people again, like, how they can find you.
My website is annalorian.com. That's AnnaLorian. You can find me on Facebook, the Anna Lorian Agency. I'm on Twitter, Anna Lorian, and also Instagram at Matchmaker Anna.
Awesome, Anna. Thank you so much for joining the show. And hopefully one day I can have you back again.
Yeah, thank you for having me. We can get
You're
on
welcome.
Here and chat about female reproductive issues.
I know. Even though I don't want any more, you know, oh my gosh, I'm so much. Our bodies go through so much, you know, and I don't
yeah,
think I can carry another.
Yeah, women have endometriosis, so we really kind of need to talk about that.
Yeah, all right. So when you come back on again, that's going to be one of our topics. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to make a note of that so I don't forget.
Yeah,
well,
we need to chat.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, have a good night. I'm going to mention our other shows, and then I'm going to wrap it up with one last song. So I'll talk to you soon, Anna.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye, Anna. Okay, guys. So we have reached the end of our show, and I just want to mention a couple of shows that are going on this week. First, I want you guys to tune in on Thursday night for the Real List radio show with Tasha Nicole Wright and Alyssa Noriega. This starts at 9 p.m., and it's from 9 to 11, Thursday night. Also, on Friday and Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., we have the pregame radio show with Brooklyn, Black, and Hoffa. So please tune in for them also. Thank you so much for listening in, and I'm closing out with one last song. Have a good night.
Let's get it, shorty. Oh, it's that kid right here, nigga. What's up? What's up, nigga? Where they saying they get it from another planet. 36,000 times, do a somersault. Do it right, you can live your whole summer off. I'm on my mind, yeah, niggas seeing double, y'all. Tell me what the chances of fucking both of y'all. She said, loans, we can do it with your ice on. If that the case, we might as well leave the lights on. I'm on my mind, just blew 1,000 switches. In my black and orange charger, call it trick or treat. If they ain't ready to a boss, my goons got goons. How stupid, dumb, big, my room's got room. Why y'all trip? I'm just fine. 1245.
Young Jesus. trying to take it easy. Only way to go. And so, but if you're looking for me, I'll be on the track. On the same track, possibly sitting on the track now. Because I'm a rider.
Hey, yeah.
Only a survivor.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the game don't stop. Trying to make it to the top. For your ass get popped now. If you're a rider.
Yeah.
Only a soul survivor.
Tonight I can't sleep. We living in hell. First they give us the work, then they throw us in jail. Road trip, yeah, I'm trafficking the white. Please, Lord, don't let me go to jail tonight. Who me? I'm a soul survivor. Ask about him in the street, the boy G's a rider. 100 grand on my wrist, yeah, life sucks. Fuck the club, dog, I'd rather count $1 million bucks.
If you're looking for me, I'll be on the block with my same cop, possibly sitting on a trap now. Cause I'm a rider.
Yeah.
I'm a survivor.
Yeah.
Everybody know the game don't stop. Trying to make it to the top. For your ass get popped now. If you a rider.
Yeah.
I'm a soul survivor.
Another day, another dollar. Same block, same nigga, same park, same green. I guess we got the same dream. Or is it the same nightmare? We let the doves do it for us. We don't cry tears. Real niggas don't budge. When mailman got his time, he shot birds at the judge. I'm knee deep in the game, so when it's time to re-up, I'm knee deep in the cane. Real talk, look, I'm telling you, man. If you get jammed up, won't mention my name. Forgive me, Lord, I know I ain't living right. Gotta feed the block, niggas starving, they got appetite. And it's a dare day, it never gets old. When I was a juvenile, stuck to the G-code. This ain't a rap song, nigga, this is my life. If the world was a battlefield, then I earned strikes.
If you're looking for me, I'll be on the block for my same cop, possibly sitting on the track now. Because I'm a rider.
Yeah.
I'm a survivor.
Yeah.
Everybody know the game don't stop. Trying to make it to the top. For your ass get popped now. If you a rider.
Yeah.
I'm a soul survivor.
Gotta watch every move, cause them eyes be on you. Gotta try real cool when them pies be on you. Just cause we stack paper and we ball our races. Them alphabet boys got us under surveillance. Like animals, they lock us in cages. The same nigga that's a star when you put him on stages. I ain't cheap, played the hand I dealt. Try to tax the grand pearl, I went and got him myself. Get it. No nuts, no glory. My biography, damn right, the true story. City on fire, and I didn't even try. Run the streets all day, I could sleep when I die.
Cause if you're looking for me, you can find me on the block, disobeying the law. A real G, thoroughbred from the streets, pants sagging with my gun in my draw. Just keep on moving now. Just to keep on moving now. Just to keep on moving now. If you're looking for me, I'll be on the block with my same cop, possibly sitting on the track now. Because I'm a rider.
Yeah.
I'm a soul survivor.
Yeah.
Everybody know the game don't stop. Trying to make it to the top. For your ass get popped now. If you a rider.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, a soul survivor.
Yeah.
If you're looking for me, I'll be on the block with my same cop, possibly sitting on the track now.